Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, good morning. So glad that you join us today with live screening here at Father's Vineyard. My name is John Mitchell. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. We're going to get started this morning, and we want to talk to you this morning about the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God. And I just want to share some things with you that I feel that will help you. It's been a help to me, you know. And when we look at the word righteousness, sometimes we look at it as though it talks about our works or deeds or something we have to do. But I just want to share with you this morning, just to give you another outlook on the righteousness of God. I know we quote this scripture a lot, that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and that the latter end of that chapter where it says, you know, he who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we will cover that, but I just want to expound on that, because to be righteous, what it really means is to be in right standing with God. And that's what Jesus came to do. We know he came and he died on the cross, but Jesus was accomplishing some things for us that had he not went to the cross, we wouldn't have the benefit and the freedom as believers in Jesus Christ. So I just want to draw your attention to a verse of scripture, a couple of scriptures that we'll read this morning. But I want to start in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. It says, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpass that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." Now notice Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed or surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees, the scribes and Pharisees. And what I want to share with you this morning about the Pharisees, they had an outward appearance about them that appeared to be righteous, but on the inside, they were dead. Why? Because of the fall of Adam, we were all born in sin. And Jesus came to take away, to loose us from the penalty of sin and to give us right standing with God. And how sometimes when we look at the scripture, it's not that a self-righteousness, but it's a righteousness, a position that we have in Christ, being in right standing with God based on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, okay? So let's just look at this. He's saying, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness or surpass the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, just want to slow down here a little bit so I can kind of break this down. But let's just look at some of the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes. If we'll go to Luke chapter 18, and let's look at verse 9. Okay, let's look at verse 9. He says in verse 9, "And he also told this parable to some of the people who trusted in themselves." Now, notice what he said here, who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. So, in other words, we come this word that we're looking at here, you know, we use this word in the English, we would say, you know, well, these people are being self-righteous. But what you have to understand here, notice what Jesus is saying, the parable that he's speaking to give us an illustration here, and that's what parables are, to tell the story, to give us an illustration that would bring spiritual significance. And he says to them, he said, and he also told this parable to some people who trusted, notice, who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Okay, let's move on. Verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, okay, the other a tax collector. Notice he said, except your righteousness surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees, okay? Now notice what he's saying here in verse 10. He's saying two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. Now notice what it said. He stood and prayed this to himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I pay tithes of all, and I get all that I get. I pay tithes of all that I get, okay? But the tax collector standing some distance away was very unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. I just want to share that scripture with you because it gives us a good illustration about what Jesus is saying about the righteousness of the Pharisees, how that outwardly they appeared to be righteous, but inwardly they were dead. They were dead on the inside. There was no life in the inside of them. And the righteousness of God, first of all, it don't affect the exterior as much as it does the interior. Because when it affects the interior, it means that my spirit, man, I have been set free. And notice what Jesus was teaching here, how that the tax collector went, he was justified because he looked to God. And that's what we have to do to in order to enter this righteousness or this standard or this position of righteousness. Let's look at Romans, the 5th chapter, and you'll see this, okay? Romans 5, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, notice it said, now we're justified not by our works, but we're justified by faith. Okay? We're justified by faith, not by works. Okay? So when we begin to understand that it's not a work or some type of performance that we have to do to be declared righteous, we are declared righteous because Jesus Christ have declared us righteous. The Bible said, he who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? So what we have to understand is that the righteousness of God is not based on what I'm doing, but it's based on what Christ has done for me. And let me just give you a few biblical definitions of righteousness. Righteous simply means right standing with God. In other words, righteousness is the condition of being in right relationship with God. And this in a time that we're living in now with the pandemic and things that are going on and just, you know, just chaotic stuff going on. But how many know God is still in control? God is still the God that he was. Amen. When he created this world, he's still the same God. Even the word of God said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So what we have to understand is that righteousness is the condition of being in right relationship with God. Now, before Jesus came and walked this earth and just redeemed us from the curse of this law, what we have to understand is that we were in sin. You know, we didn't have a way out. We were doomed for hell. Amen. There was no way out. But the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And what we have to understand as believers is our position in Christ. And there's no greater time now than ever to know who we are in Christ, to know that we are in right relationship with him, that the condition of being righteous is being in right relationship with him. Okay? So this can easily happen through faith, depending upon Jesus Christ, not depending upon my works or anything that I can perform. Now, the key to that is this. Yes, there is a good work that come out of us, but it is a work that has been produced by the Holy Spirit that has worked it in us, and now it works out of us. I believe Paul spoke of that. He said that work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, you know, for it is Christ who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So what we have to understand is that our righteousness is not based on my performance, on my right deeds, or, you know, I got to do so many things right before God accept me. Come on, let's do away with that. That's the lie of the enemy, and we need to replace the lie of the enemy with the truth of God, which is what God has said about us, is that we are in right standing with him. So he said, except your righteousness surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees, not that you would be better than the Pharisees, but that you would have an inward life of righteousness based on what Christ did for you, and that you don't have any room to boast. The Bible says that we're saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. So we have nothing that we can boast about, that I'm righteous in this one, or I'm more righteous than that, or I'm righteous. No, the righteousness that Jesus has given us is for all believers. There's no ups and downs and high and low, or rich and poor, amen, but it's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, so let me just reinstate some of these definitions here. It says that righteousness simply means right standing with God. And notice when Jesus was talking about the man, when he was talking about the parable, giving the illustration, he said, this man, he prayed thus with himself. He prayed thus with himself. So when we're self-righteous, we're not even praying to God. We're just praying to ourselves. But when you're in right standing with God, how many know that when we're in right standing with him, the Bible says the ears of the Lord are open to who? The righteous. His ears are open to us. And I can't explain why some things happen and some things don't happen. We ask for this and it happened. We ask for this and it don't happen. I can't explain that, but I do know that God is a just God. He is a righteous God, amen? And God is not gonna look the other way just because things are chaotic, things are the pandemic, and all these things are going on in the world. God is still looking for his church to arise, amen? The righteous to arise and shine, amen? That the righteousness of God, that we can go forth, amen, knowing that we can approach God at any given time. See, it's about relationship. That's what righteous give us. It gives us a relationship. Notice this from the definition here. Righteousness is the condition of being in right relationship with God. So if we're in right relationship with God now as a believer, before we were in what? Wrong relationship. Why? Because of sin. We thought that the world, these things in the world, were more appealing than the things of God. But when we become born again and our eyes have been opened and we begin to comprehend what the kingdom of God is all about, amen, we have all the riches of heaven, amen. And guess what? We have access to a God that's more than enough. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So let's go back to Romans. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen to this. We have peace with God. Yes, when we're born again, we have the peace of God. But to have peace with God, it means that we're no more enemies, we're no more separated, we're no more at each other, amen. We're not opposing God now, but we're embracing God now. So the difference is that when we have peace with God, it means that we have been what? That the peace of God means that we are undisturbed, because we know that our lives are hid with Christ in God. Say, because we know that our lives are in Christ, we are at rest. We have peace with God. God, we know God is no longer angry. God is no more at odds. He's not against us anymore. I tell you, the Word of God said God demonstrated His love while we were yet sinners. Amen. That He died for us. He demonstrated His love for us. And what we have to understand as believers is that what Christ did for us, it gives us a place of rest, a place of peace, a place where we can come boldly to the throne of grace. It gives us an opportunity. It gives us an invitation, an introduction, access to the Father God that created it all. Hallelujah. That's great news for you. And the Word of God says that through Him, we have peace. See, in the world, Jesus said, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And He also said this before He said that. He said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. See, the world only has peace when they have money, when they're on top of things, when things are going their way, when things are happy or what's happening around them. But see, our peace that we have, that Paul shared, I think it's in Philippians, where he said, the peace that surpasseth all our understanding. Sometimes I don't understand the peace that I have, but I know that I have a rest and I have a peace with God that surpasses my understanding. So when we have peace with God, guess what? We get the peace of God. So Paul is giving us some good word here this morning through the Word of God. You know, he's letting us know that we've been justified. And that word justified means to be declared righteous, to be declared righteous or innocent as though you never sinned. You know, it gives us a clean slate here. So he starts out, therefore, being justified by faith. Amen. We have to believe. We have to trust God, you know, because God is our righteousness. He is our hope for today. He is a just and righteous God. So He's imparted unto us, He's positioned us in righteousness, in right standing with God. And that word peace, it means to rest, you know, to be absent, end or end of strife. See, we're no more at strife with God, and we don't need to be at strife with one another. You know, there are three things that I've been pondering on, you know, and I believe that this dropped in my spirit by the Holy Spirit. I don't take ownership like I'm some, you know, well, I got this great revelation, but it was just simple, you know, and I began to look at it as three words that came to me as I was praying. This happened maybe three or four weeks ago. That fear and division and control, you know, and those thoughts came to me. And what we have to understand is the enemy wants us to be fearful, which God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power, the ability, a sound mind, a disciplined mind, a mind that can make sound decisions. Okay, I talked about that a few weeks ago. But anyway, you know, when I looked at that and I said, you know, what the world want to do, it's trying to divide the church, you know, with everything that's going on. But what we have to understand is that we don't need to be at strife with each other. We need to be loving each other and building each other as these evil days come. And that's what Paul encouraged us to do. You know, even when I know we're not together now, but we're together with live screening. Praise God that God has made a way for that to happen so that we can continue to preach and teach the Word of God. But we don't need to be at strife, at envy. We don't need to let the world dictate to us how we're supposed to act, because Paul said in the Word of God, be not conformed to this world, but be you what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we got to understand, church, that we can't take on the mindset of the world, because when we take on the mindset of the world, we begin to act like the world. We begin to do things like the world. And I mean, you know, the world is just at each other's throat. You know, there's seem like attitudes are everywhere now. But guess what? The attitude that we have is that we want to be like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My attitude is to become what the Word of God says I should become. My attitude is to love those that despitefully use me. My attitude is to be at peace, amen, with all men as much as possible, amen. So we just thank God for it, amen, that the righteousness of God not only is not only just righteousness, but listen what another definition is here, okay? And what we have to understand is righteousness, this is another definition of righteousness, is conformity to all that he commands or appoints. Since God himself is the standard of the believer, the righteousness of God means righteousness which belongs to God or to oneself for God or God-like, okay? And when you read in the Word of God, Jesus said this in St. Matthew's, the 6th chapter in the 33rd verse, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. God's way of being right, God's righteousness, okay? You know, seeking his kingdom, God's rule, God's rulership, God's government that he has set through Jesus Christ, the kingdom principles that God has set through Christ to teach his church how to live victoriously, amen? He said, for what? Thou kingdom come, thy will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. See, we don't just need to look like people as Francis, you know, taught in Christ's image likeness of in Christ's image, which means is, you know, Francis Frangipane, I can't pronounce his name, but you know, you guys that are looking that have took his class or read his books, awesome man of God, I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but I like what he said in his books and in his studies. He said, we don't need to look like people going to heaven. We need to look like people that have been to heaven and came back, amen, that's invading the earth. We need to look like people that have been to heaven and we've came back and we're invading the earth. See, and that's God's plan. He said, thy will be done where? In earth as it is in heaven. See, we can't portray something that we don't have. But that's why Jesus is saying that the righteousness don't need to be exterior, I mean, a bunch of clothes, you know, dress, you know, well, they look righteous. No, you can't go by what it looks like. You got to know, amen, what's on the inside. And that's where the life is, on the inside of us. And that's the standard of God. That's what God's standard. I'm not the standard, but God's word is the standard. That's why it's so important that we know what the Word of God is saying in this hour. That's why we need to align ourselves with the Word of God and not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing, by the renewing, by the renewing, by the renewing of the Word of God. A continual renewing our minds with the Word of God. Why? Because we're replacing all the lies, all the false stuff that have been spoken to us. We're uprooting it with the Word of God. And we'll align the truth, amen, the truth to take place. You tell people sometimes, you know, I'm the righteousness of God. It's not a boastful thing, but we need to confess who we are and what God has did for us, amen. So Jesus is saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. So when Paul is saying that we are justified by faith, what he's saying is that we have been declared righteous in the eyes of God. God no longer looks at us as, you know, these sinners, you know, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, if you're saved by grace, you're no longer a sinner. Amen? So, but anyway, let's look at the Word of God and let it just confirm some things here for us, okay? Let's look in Romans, the third chapter, and let's see. We'll begin at the 21st verse. It says, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And before Jesus made that statement, if you go back up, he began to give us the characteristics that we're light and we're salt, you know, and he began to share about how he didn't come to do away with the law or abolish the law, but to fulfill, to fill it up, to live it out. And then we hear Paul here in Romans saying, now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made manifest. It was manifest through Jesus Christ. If you want to know how we should live and how we should conduct ourselves, read the Gospels of Jesus Christ. And we can get a good understanding about how Jesus lived his life. And we can begin to align ourselves with the principles that he taught, because that's what's going to set us free. That's what's going to make us free. That's what's going to keep making us free. Amen? So notice what Paul is saying here, that it was witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law spoke of Jesus coming. the types and the shadows of the lamb that was slain and using these sacrifices was a type of Christ. And the prophets, they prophesied, they proclaimed that he was coming. They proclaimed what he would be like. Amen. Even when John saw him, John looked at him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which take away what? The sins of the world." Amen. John seen him as that lamb. Amen. So we got to understand that the prophets and the law and the prophets, they spoke of Jesus. But when Jesus came into this earth, I mean, you know, Jesus went about doing good and healing all that was sick and oppressed of the devil. But what he was really doing was fulfilling the law so that you and I, because there was no law in place that would produce life, but Jesus gave his life, amen, so that we would have life, and not only life, but have it more abundantly. That the spirit of the law of Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Amen? So it's the spirit of the law, or the life-giving spirit that Jesus has given us. And that's part of our righteousness is what he have accomplished for us. Let's read a little further here, okay? In verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, that's no excuse. We preach this sometimes. I hear people say, well, you know, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, we all have sinned. Yes, that is a true statement. But what Paul was really saying is this, that Adam fell short of what God intended from the beginning. Adam fell short of what God intended from the beginning. How did he fall short? When he partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he brought spiritual death. And also out of that spiritual death, he brought physical death. And not only physical death, but he brought pain and agony, and the things that you see going on with sickness and all these things is a product of the fall. Because before the fall, there was no sickness. There was no death. It was just life, enjoying life, koinonia, fellowshipping with God. And this is what God is bringing us back to, the original intent. So we can't just say, well, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yes, we have, but we don't preach that in a way as an excuse to say, well, when I miss it, I just fell short. No, when you miss it, you got to repent, get up, and let's get going. Amen. So, but let's get back to this, okay? So what it really means is that he fell short. He come up short of what God intended. The glory that God had on man before the fall was that he didn't like identity. He didn't like repetition. He knew who he was in God. But when he failed, he came short of what God intended. And God's intention was to have a human race that was solely relationship with him, fellowshipping with him, enjoying life with him. Amen. But we see after the fall, now you see it in the world today. People could care less about God. They're trying to figure this thing out through technology and all these things, through politics and all the stuff. We're trying to figure this thing out. And the real answer is Jesus Christ. The real answer is Jesus Christ. If we would come under his government and begin to operate and do the way that his word tells us to do, how many know that we won't see a lot of these things that are taking place in the world today? But Jesus said this would happen, but guess what? He's got the church covered. We are covered in him. And thank God that he is a good God, and that we can trust him. Amen. And we thank God for what Jesus did. But verse 24 says, being justified, being declared righteous or innocent or without sin, being declared righteous is what I want to use here, okay? Being justified as a gift. So righteousness is a gift by his grace. I don't have to work for it. I don't have to perform for it. I don't have to say, well, Lord, if you would just do this, I would serve you. No, God know my heart. Amen. And so what God is looking at is not so much of what we say, but is what we believe. And notice what he said, being justified by being justified as a gift by his grace, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. See, so what God is saying is God has did the work for us, but we have to believe that we are the righteousness of God. See, we're not trying to just paint the face, make ourselves look righteous. We're righteous from the end. Why? We're righteous from within. Why? Because he's in us. God's spirit is on the inside of us. And let's look at Romans 5 again, okay? And we're talking about it's a gift to us. Romans 5 and verse 17, if you look at that. And I want to back up to verse 15. It says, well, let's back up to 13. Well, no, 15 is work. Okay. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, the many died, which was Adam, we died. Much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of God, one man for the gift. Let me back up, getting in a hurry here. Let me slow down. Okay, let's back up where it says, by the grace of God, by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. So even though death reigned, but grace, God's unmerited favor, the divine influence, the empowerment of God's grace. Amen. And that's what's keeping us, and that's what's helping us today. It's not the works that we do, but it's faith in God. Amen. I think I quoted this a while ago in Ephesians where it says, we're not saved by works, but we're saved by what? Grace through faith. Amen. So let's move on, okay? Verse 16. The gift is not like that which come through the one who sinned. Here we go again. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. See, when we operate in Adam, we're always going to be under condemnation. When we operate in Adam, we're always going to be in condemnation. We're always going to be trying to fix it. We're always going to be trying to prepare it. We're always going to be trying to make it work. We're always going to be trying these little gadgets and these little things to try to make ourselves righteous before God when we can't do that. It won't work. Amen. The results of Adam's work is condemnation. But the Bible says that those that are in Christ Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ, you're not in condemnation. But when we begin to go back and revert to the flesh, go back to operating like the old man Adam that causes sin to come into the world, we enter condemnation. But let's don't stop there. It says, But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgression resulting in justification or being what? Made righteous. Okay? For if by the transgression of the one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So we reign through Jesus Christ. Let's move on a little further. So then, as though one transgression there resulted in condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness, there result justification, a life of life to all men. Not just some men, but to all men that will receive it. So the free gift is the righteousness of God. It's a gift to us by God's grace. Why is it a gift to us? We have right standing with God. We can approach God. See, and this is the thing that I love, that we're in right relationship now. We have the right relationship now. See, we can go to Father God anytime we get ready and just pour our hearts out to him. You say, what you mean? I can't tell God everything. He already know it. Just share your heart with him. Why? Because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You say, well, what does this have to do with anything? Now, your relationship with God is more valuable than anything else that's going on in this world today. My relationship with him. Say, I can fellowship with him. I have relationship with him. Sometimes, you know, the fellowship can be broken, but my relationship with Daddy God, he's there to pull me back in line to that fellowship. And I just thank God, you know, to realize that the righteousness of God is a gift. I don't have to work for it. I don't have to try to figure it out. I don't have to even put a fleece up before God and say, well, God, if you would just let it rain today, I know that you'll speak. No, we don't have to do that. We can go to the Word of God. We can pray. We can go into our causes and pray and ask the Father for what we need. If we need understanding, James said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives it freely. Who gives it freely, you know, and God is wanting to give it to us. He don't want us to struggle. He don't want us to just agonize for it. Well, you know, well, where is God when all this is going on? He's still God. He's still that righteous and just God. He is just and righteous. And that's why when Jesus came into the earth, he didn't go around condemning people, but he went around showing people, being compassionate and loving people. Yes, he took a stand. He just didn't just anything go with him, but he had a standard. And he said, I only do those things that please my Father. I only do those things that please my Father. See, and Jesus' passion was to please the Father. You know, and I pray that God will put a passion in us to please the Father, to understand what the Father has, what Jesus have accomplished for us, that we have access to the Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So it's not about how many clothes I wear, the change of clothes, or do I look righteous? Do I talk righteous? You know, come on, it's time out for that. We're righteous on the inside because Jesus Christ have made us righteous. And it is a free gift. It is a free gift. And you got to understand that our righteousness was as filthy rags. Isaiah says, I think it's Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. So we don't have no room to boast. See, Jesus knew our righteousness was a filthy rags, a filthy garment, you know, and you know, and if you search that out, you know, I mean, it's just filth, you know, but here Jesus came and he said, that's all right, I'm going to clean them up and I'm going to put my righteousness upon them. I'm going to give them my righteousness. See, it's really his righteousness. It's not my righteousness, but it's his righteousness. And because it's his righteousness, check this out, because it's his righteousness, he has right to me. He has right to me. See, and I have right to him, but he has right to me. Remember, the Bible says that you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are his. See, God has bought us. He's paid for us through the blood of Jesus Christ. He has bought us. You know, and I just want you to be encouraged that you have relationship with God now. If you are a believer, if you have repented of your sins and you have accepted Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you believe that God raised him from the dead, you can be saved. Amen. You can be saved and begin to experience a relationship, a genuine relationship with God. Apart from righteousness, we don't have access to God. But because we are saved and born again by God's Spirit, we have access now to God. And the Bible says we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. We can come to God with boldness. The ears of the Lord are open to the cry of the righteous. God will not turn away from the righteous. Amen. I believe David said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver us out of them all. We may be facing affliction right now. I don't know what you're facing, but I know we're all going through things, but we don't need to give up. You know why? Because God will deliver us out of them all. Amen. He's never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Amen. God is with us. God is for us. Amen. And we got to understand that our relationship with God is more important. Amen. To let the world distract us. Amen. To let the world pull us back. To let the world just entice us to give up on a true and living God. I'm telling you, God is good. Amen. And God's goodness, amen, is what will lead us to repentance. That will lead us to repentance. You know, so we can't get away from the goodness of God. Amen. We're in right relationship with Him. So let's continue on having our relationship with God. See, your relationship with God is a personal relationship. You know, you can pray, you can read the Word of God, you can talk to Him. It don't matter where you're at. That's why, you know, even David said, if I make my bed in hell, you are there. You know, if I take the wings and fly away over, you're still there. There's no escaping God. But what we don't want to do is lose our life, amen, by not accepting what He has provided for us. See, we don't want to take it for granted. See, you're not righteous because you do a lot of good deeds, okay? You're not righteous because your righteousness is as filthy rags. That's why He came and gave us His righteousness, so that we will be in right standing with God and we will have the right relationship with God. He made it possible for us, thanks of God. And I'm so grateful and thankful for what He has provided for us. And I hope that you are. But I tell you, God, I'm telling you, God is still God regardless of what's going on in this pandemic, the attitudes that we see. You know, yes, I know it's hard, amen, but this is a time that we get to practice the love of God, the peace of God, the goodness of God, the kindness of God, the patience of God. You know, we get to practice this thing and we get to walk it out now. Why? Because things are chaotic and people are searching for answers. They might not tell you. They might not ask you sometimes. They might not even ask you, but I'm telling you, get yourself ready. You might be in the grocery store, walking down an aisle, minding your own business, and you just look over and the Holy Spirit begin to say, you need to say this word to her. You need to love on her. You might need to help this young man. You know, you might need to just talk to this young man. See, we don't know, but we got to make ourselves ready. And how do we make ourselves ready? By that relationship with God. See, our confidence will come out of our relationship with Him. See, and so many things will just begin to happen when we have relationship with Him. You know, and I can go into details of talking to you about earthly relationships and how things come out of relationships, but we got to understand that our relationship with God will cause us to be so confident in a God that's more than enough, and will cause us to have peace in a God, not just inner God, but peace within ourselves, amen, that the world just don't know about. And that's why we got to make ourselves ready. We got to get ourselves aligned with God's principles, God's revelation, God's word. Amen. And begin to align ourselves with those things and begin to grow and cultivate these things in us. See, the thing that I'm learning is, you know, that the Holy Spirit is always willing. He's always prompting us, you know, to grow, to cry out for more, to search for more. Amen. And what we have to understand is sometimes the enemy want to remind you of your past, but you got to understand something. Now that you have a future with God, you got to let that past go. If you done repented and you done turned, keep moving forward with God. Don't let the enemy bring a distraction to you to say, well, you're not righteous. Look what you're doing. It's not based on what I do. It's based on what Christ did for me. We have to understand that. It's not based on my performance. It's based on what He did for me. And when I align myself with Him, the passion and the desire of God, I begin to have a desire to live right, to do people right, to say things right in the right way. Sometimes I might miss it, but guess what? The Holy Spirit will correct me. And if I miss it, I repent and turn. Let's get on with it. Let's move forward with it. See, we got to understand, we can't make excuses for being distracted. We got to find out, why am I distracted here? Why am I not having fellowship with God? Why am I not continued on with that relationship with him that he has provided for me? You have to answer those things. I can't answer it for you, but I tell you what, if you will seek God, he will give you answers. He will give, it might not come when you want it, but he will be on time. Trust me, he is a faithful God. And he will not leave you nor forsake you. Even in difficult times, God is still there with us, okay? In closing, I know I've rabbled off a lot here. I talked about a lot and thrown a lot of things out there. I hope that you can kindly understand that you got to understand your right relationship with God. Because if we feel that God is angry with us, we're not going to approach him. If we feel that God is the one causing all this chaos, we're not going to pray to him. So God is not the author of confusion. Amen. God is not the author of confusion, but God is a God of order. He's a God of order. He's a God of just, and he's a righteous God. Amen. God is just and righteous. Amen. God will do just what he said, and he's righteous to stand by what he say. Amen. So we don't have no fear. We don't have the fear of God turning his back again. He will not, but he's looking for us to take the initiative and come to him and begin to talk to him and have the relationship that he has, the right relationship that he has given us. Amen. So we thank you for that today. We thank you this morning for just tuning in with us. You know, so much more I could say on this, but, you know, I'm just going to, you know, just kind of bring it in right now. And just want to just ask you for the church here at Father's Vineyard, you guys that are watching, thank you so much for watching. And just thank you so much for your support of praying for some of our members that have been going through COVID. I know we've been praying for them. And you know, I didn't lose a friend, but I had a friend to graduate from this life, a dear brother, Keith Jones. And so precious. I mean, just a great brother, him and his wife, Rita, just a great couple. And he graduated and went home to be with the Lord. And I just want to encourage you to continue to pray for Rita and the family. He had daughters, and just pray for the family and his grandchildren. You know, he would be greatly missed, you know, and I can't explain what happened, you know, just I can't explain that. I'm not going to try to, just being real with you, but I do know that God is good. You know, and Keith was a man of God, and we know where he's at. He's probably looking down on us with that big smile, you know, telling us, keep cheering us on. Y'all keep fighting, keep praying, keep believing, you know, and I know him. He had a heart of gold, I tell you. When I say a heart of gold, he was a genuine man of God that really loved people and enjoyed having fun. And he would be greatly missed, you know, and just thank God for the time that I had to know him. But I just want to encourage you to pray for the family, and just keep them up, that God will just strengthen them and comfort them and bring them as they transition and go through this, that God will continue to comfort Miss Rita and the family. But I just want to pray before we go off the air here. Father, we just thank you today, Lord. And God, so much is going on and so many things are happening, Lord. And God, we know that you have the answers. And God, you said, seek and we will find, knock and the door will be open. So Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you are a just and righteous God. And God, you're so just and righteous, the word, you even imparted that righteousness to us, the standard that you have set before us. You are the standard, Lord. And God, we just thank you so much. We pray that you would comfort this family, not only this family, but others that have lost loved ones throughout the community, Lord. We just pray your grace and your mercy, Lord. And God, we pray your love and your kindness upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.